Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper and fandom old.
Hello sailors! First of all, thank you for supporting the podcast, I really appreciate it. The topic of this third special episode has actually been requested a few times, and I've managed to get together four of my previous interview partners who have intimate knowledge of the special hell, or is it special pleasure, of rare pair shipping. Welcome back, Nick, Mia, Kimmy and Fö. But let's dive right in. Hi everyone! Thank you so much for joining me. This is a special episode for the Patreon that has actually been, I don't know if I can say highly requested since I don't have that many listeners, but it has been definitely requested by more than one person. So, So I'm now gathered here with a few people whose voices you might remember from previous podcasts, who all would like to talk about the phenomenon of and special hell that is rare pair shipping.
We're not familiar with that.
I don't know. Why don't you just tell us who you are and maybe which episode you did on the podcast?
We go in alphabetic order from the list.
Yeah, why not?
So that would be me for the B?
Yes, that would be you for the B.
Okay, so hi, I'm Nick or BBC Otaku, and I was in the Connor and Evan shipping audio.
Hi, again.
Hello.
All right, next. I'm Kimmy Gap, and I've done the episode about science boyfriends from Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, the first of the Marvel episodes. And then we have...
Hi, I'm Mia. I did the Doctor Who episode, the one about Reverend, every incarnation of the Doctor you can imagine.
Yeah, we should do an update about that just with 13 now.
Oh, yes.
Which would all be wishful thinking on our part.
There's quite a lot of that there.
So I'm last. I'm Takara Phoenix, or Fö for short. And I did the Percy Jackson, the Nick Hersey one.
Yes. And that's one of the really popular ones, too.
Yes. Oh. How flattering.
I just know sometimes people, you know, like stuff on SoundCloud, and that's, you know, and that's one of the that and which one was it? Oh, Jesus. One of the Boku Hero Now Academia ones the other one that's incredibly popular.
I think I know which ship that is, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Because I've done two of them, and I can't quite remember. It was Bakudeku. Bakudeku, that's the really... Don't
most
ask me about the
ships
fullness.
From that fandom.
Yeah, I can just remember the smooshy, squishy ship name.
what you actually just mentioned, I think... fits very well with what we are talking about, because it's the exact opposite of our situation. Most popular ships, or at least popular ships, and then
Absolutely. There's
our baby tiny rare pairs.
and sometimes they're rare because I guess no one has even thought of them.
Yeah.
Most of the times I find that they're rare because there's like this one big ship that everybody ships and nobody else is just even interested in shipping something else, which is very sad.
I guess that's a part of it, but I've also been in fandoms where it's not okay. I mean, for example, Sherlock still has that one big ship and it's pretty much one that is the biggest, but there's still like 4 or 5 ships that I can think of the top of my head that are still extremely popular. And
yeah,
then there are rare pairs with like 2 pages on AO3, and that's a lot.
Yeah, I think it really also depends on the size of the fandom, because sometimes the bigger fandom is, the more variety you can find.
That's true. Like, Marvel has not just one flagship, but there's so many tiny, tiny, tiny rare pairs where there's like only 4 or so people who ship it.
Yes.
Despite the size.
But it's also a very productive fandom. I mean, there's so much content. It makes me dizzy.
Yes, that's good.
So, what type of rare pairs do you tend to ship? Is it like a really unpopular one in one with like compared to the main one, or is it like funny little crossover ships or something?
Mine's a crossover. I've only really got one. It's one rare pair, and I only know 2 okay. other people ship it, and 1 of the other people is my sister.
And which one is that, and how did you come up with it?
So that is Veronica Sawyer from Heathers and Evan Hansen from Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay.
I'm back here with the Evan Hansen BS. But me and my sister Maya were writing a fanfiction, which was a crossover between Be More Chill, Dear Evan Hansen, and Heathers. They were really popular schools at the time. And and we were just writing it together, and then one day I just turned to my sister and I went, I think Veronica and Evan should end up in a relationship. She's like, oh my god, I was thinking the same thing as well. Because the way we were writing them, they were just basically holding each other up because of their like respective traumas and whether things getting each other through the day, and I'm just like, they'd be good for each other.
So you basically created your own ship.
Completely on accident. And I've only seen 1 person ship it.
Well, I guess that means that you have to create all your own content.
Yeah.
That's like the worst part of rapper shipping.
I like
if you
that.
Want to read something, you have to write it.
I'm like at the beginning of Pirates of the Caribbean where Captain Jack Sparrow is riding his ship into harbour and it's just slowly sinking.
And I guess you're the little one, you're like paddling in the back trying to put the ship back up.
Yeah,
that's a rare pair mood.
For me with rare pairs, it's actually like something completely different, and it's fairly connected to the multi-shipping. And the fact that I don't really understand people who are like, I only ship this one ship, because that seems so limiting to me, and I just can't imagine that. And when I sort of find a character, I latch onto them, and I immediately start shipping them with every single other character I like. So inevitably, after 25 ships later, there will be ships in there that just don't exist or have like 4 figs. Like with Tony Stark, the moment I decided that I really like him and Happy Hogan together, it was like, I thought that this shouldn't be unpopular because the whole Iron Farm is a huge thing and he's popular with Pepper and with Roddy. And Happy is very often mentioned as a third next to this group, but there's like 4 figs on AO3 or maybe 3.
So I did not know that was a ship that I needed in my life.
It's often like that with rare pairs. You just sort of, it never occurs to you, but then you think, you realize that it could exist, and when you find out that it doesn't, you're just very sad.
Yeah.
I guess similar is one that has been popping up on my timeline quite a bit, because I follow both Kimmy and Fur, that I know the first time that I really was like, oh yeah, that one's funny, that one's really rare, was the Jace and Bat from Shadowhunters.
It is our baby. We made that.
I know.
Yeah, so for me, that's the one. I'm very proud of that one. I think that it's a very good one.
Yeah, so for me, this is like almost like a, you know, not a real rare pair, because I keep two of you still post about it.
It's really good. I loved Bats back when I read the books, and I was like, this one, I was very excited when Bat was announced to join the show, and I was really, really hoping that I will sort of get, you know, any content, and then
I can barely remember what he looks like.
He had like 5 minutes screen time in the end of the show. In total, that was
yeah.
Do you remember when he first joined? Like his first episode, he actually like got some action, and after the season ended, there was still this sort of setup that suggested that we may actually get content. And then it was like the biggest disappointment of my life. He got what, like 3 minutes altogether?
And he never even got to meet Chase. They had no interactions at all.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. So that must be like a special kind of help. When you think your rare pair might actually have a chance, you know? And then it just doesn't, because canon.
Yeah.
Experience in Percy Jackson already.
Yeah, that was
so disappointing. Yeah. When you see two characters that seem like they could have perfect chemistry and they would be so good when they meet, and you wait for them to meet, and then just everything ends, and no, that wasn't it.
Again, with the adaptation, like, yeah, we know all these side characters you love, but we're just gonna spoil everything in the second movie.
I feel like this is just a general good description of fandom life. You get your hopes high, and then canon.
Oh yes, that's gonna happen in the next movie or the next episode, and then it just does not.
Yeah,
that's the story of my life.
Especially when we've like sat down and we've written, like, you know, whole fix or meta, thinking out like the ramifications of something, of people meeting or something happening, and then we wait what's going to happen in canon, and it's just nothing.
Yeah. Yes, especially with the meta, because people often just say, this makes so much sense, so this is how this is going to go, and then it just doesn't go at all.
It's like shock value has become something that writers think is good,
yes,
but they don't understand that shock value for the sake of itself, without literally anything before suggesting what's going to happen, is just out of character.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, I remember with, I think it was Westworld, like the fandom started figuring out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then the writers of the show was like, oh no, we need to change the twist really drastically because we figured it out. And then the twist was really shit. And they were like, who could have seen this coming?
Predictability isn't bad.
Exactly.
And they really need to realize that.
I think it's great when you actually can figure out the twist on your own, because that means that the writers put all the clues there and you got to figure them out. I really wonder where this trend comes from, that writers think, no one should know the truth.
Yes, you have to be surprised. Like,
the entire point is that you know these things. The characters don't necessarily know them. And the entire emotional engagement is about the fact that there is someone on the screen who does not know all those things that you do. And your heart is beating fast because you realize what's going to happen, and they are completely unprepared for it.
Yeah, that's like Sandside does that a lot, like with the setting up the plot twist. Like, one of the characters a bit of his past was revealed, and everyone's like, yeah, we knew that already, but the characters didn't know that, and now we're like, oh no, now that they figured that out, they're going to have so much infighting and drama, and mm-hmm. yeah.
I got to See, think that, of that's, Riverdale that's well there. Done.
Oh, God.
We don't talk about Riverdale.
Oh, no show ever jumped the shark so high and with exactly. so much determination.
It's like the first season was so good in how it sets things up and how you were figuring out the clues together with the characters. And then in the second season, it was like, well, we would like to do something you will never ever expect in a billion years.
Because it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, we're kind of getting away from the point.
I was just going to say, would Betty and Jughead be like considered a rare pair that got way too canon?
Which one?
In the show, Betty and mm-hmm. Jughead are a couple. But in the comic, Jughead is aromantic asexual.
Yes,
and
yes.
I was like, no, who the fuck's idea was this?
Yeah, I know. I remember even when they started setting up Betty and Jughead in season one, I was kind of like, okay, so maybe he'll be, you know, ace, but not aromantic. I'm like, okay, I can live with that. That's still ace representation. And then, of course,
no, I still think that Jughead is ace, or at least that Cole is playing him as ace, because I swear the boy looks so uncomfortable every time that Betty takes off her clothes. Every single time!
Yeah, but I would too, TBH.
Maybe it's just like a tiny actor rebellion. Because
yes.
some actors who know the original content, sometimes they mention even later in interviews that they tried to do something about the fact that the script really wasn't what they wanted.
But I think I'm not sure if they planned to have Betty and Jughead be such a huge thing from the start, because they were really kind of in the, I kind of remember that they kind of pushed the ace angle and maybe possible representation and stuff before the show started. And then Bucket just became so popular, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like they just did math.
Shippers are worth more than representation.
Yeah, I think so. For some people. So it was, I mean, worse. They knew what they were going to do, and we were ace baited.
That's so sad.
Beware.
I'm jaded. It's when did that happen?
I think with the amount of representation already in the media, that's just even worse.
But yeah, so we were actually talking about rare pairs.
Apologies.
Oh yeah, I mean that always happens. I think it's to be expected. So we mentioned like how one might kind of be drawn to characters before they've met, or you know who've never met because they're in two different source materials, and yeah, I don't know. I'm actually not a big rare pair shipper. So then, what do you do when you notice that your ship will never sail?
You cry.
Sail it yourself.
Personally,
you sell it yourself.
Then I don't like when my ships are canon. Most of the time, they're just being ruined by the writers. Then, if they were never together to begin with, it's all in my head, and I get to make it good. But if the writers get their grabby little hands on them, they can completely ruin a perfectly fine ship, and I don't want that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Picture someone else. Writing from fiction about your rapper, like don't put canon into that. I just sometimes wish there were fics written by someone other than me and you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, when I said that your ship's not going to set sail, I didn't mean in canon, but that you're pretty much the only one paddling your boat.
Well, that's when you spread the good news. You're just like, hey, I thought of this ship, and then you draw other people into a weird cult of like.
Yes, that. But that's actually
sometimes... for like some sort of factual value. The two, I think, ships that we sort of created and then set sail to them, and that's Azzera from Vampire Academy and Valandale, so Bud and Jace. And each of these, I have exactly one fanfiction on AO3 that's not written by us, and Valandale has 10 fics and one who's by someone else, but it's unfinished. And actually, it's unfinished after one chapter being posted, so I would say it's abandoned. And then yeah. Azzera has 20 fics, and it Ooh. Also has one fic that is not written by either of us, but our.
But it's just a side pairing.
Yeah, it's a side pairing in it, so I'm not sure if there's one fic in each count because it's an abandoned. And it's a side pairing, so yeah, that's what happens. You just set sail and you try to keep the boat afloat yourself.
Yeah, but how do you keep going? I don't know. I kind of feed off, you know, if it's not canon, then I feed off other fans, kind of.
It's kind of the opposite for me. I prefer that little space that you have when you made a rare pair or when you are one of the very few who are on board with that ship, because with the bigger ships there's like these very set fanons and there's already 20 coffee shop AUs, but if it's a rare pair it's like you're making the first coffee shop AU for them. You're actually being the first at something. And it's not like, oh, I feel like I'm copying this fic that I read 2 weeks ago or this fic that I read 3 months ago, because they already exist in so many varieties. And I don't know, I enjoy this. There's a certain freedom to shipping mm-hmm. rare pairs.
They're valuable. Like, you really do whatever you want.
Also, there's tiny fandoms, if there are fandoms, like, comparing now, like, rare pairs, not the size of Azzera, which is 20 fics, but rare pairs where it's actually, like, I guess you could say that Jalik or Malas are rare pairs, but they still have this fandom.
No,
the fandom is probably, like, what, 20 people?
Yeah, no, that does not count.
But it's kind of really amazing because then it's so friendly and everyone knows each other, and sometimes you get like more comments on those fics than you would get on super popular main pairs, because those people appreciate the content more because there is just not enough content. So
that's a very good point.
Yeah,
that's definitely a thing. As someone who writes for insanely popular ships and also the smallest ones, I always get more comments when I'm part of the, like, a small community like Jalik. Where just everyone knows each other, otherwise you just get drowned out.
Nick, you've been trying to say something, I think.
I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
I just kept seeing your microphone would kind of flash. And I was like,
That might be because there are fireworks going off because it's Invasion Day.
Oh, okay.
Australia Day, the wider audience.
So happy Australia Day. Australia's on fire.
Australia's on fire and flooding.
I don't want to sound extremely untactful, but I feel like fireworks maybe in the current situation sound somewhat alarming.
But people are very stupid.
That is true. But yeah, so where were we? Sorry. Before I got things off the rails again. I'm a horrible mod.
That's all good.
You're doing great. As long as the conversation is going along, that's fine.
I was just thinking that I think there's a difference though between a real rare pair and like a minor ship. Like, because in Shadowhunters, you can't really call Jalik a rare pair, you know, considering how much content there is for it.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Yeah, that's maybe, how much, 400 fics by now? which for a rare bird is quite a
and
lot.
And there's vids and art and, you know, or it's
also the whole community the tag. There.
Yeah. It's yeah, the tag like... still gets action and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think now that you've mentioned that, the most painful part about rare pairs is the lack of art. Yeah. You may find fic, but the fan art is just non-existent.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like this is all about the fandom. Like, there are fandoms where, like, even the smallest pairs, if they have, like, say, 3 people who are just really into it, get a lot of content. And then there are like sort of ships that died out, and it seems like there are say several hundred figs on AO3, but if you actually want to talk to someone and find like others to get excited about this with, it's really really hard. So
yeah,
it's sort of about the scale, and that the fan art thing is like really interesting to me, because actually that makes me think about what I mentioned, that Happy Hogan, Tony Stark has like, what, 3 figs on AO3 or something like that. But actually, there is one artist in the fandom who really likes that. So I actually get fan art, new fan art, more often than I get a new fig, because I never get a new fig.
So I guess in rare pair, with rare pair shipping, you want to be at least 2 people.
I think
two people is a start.
But the smaller fandoms, I always find them more passionate. Like the
dedicated.
The best moments I've kind of had in my fandom life have been in very very small communities. So like when I got into Welcome to Nightvale, there was this role play community called the Strex Family, and it was all OCs, and there was this one person. And he was writing this fan fiction with all of the different OCs, and hardly anyone really was reading it. But the people who were reading it, like, we were, like, ravenous. We just wanted more, and it was amazing. It's been deleted now, and that makes me sad.
Aww. But yeah, that would... Yeah, I guess if there's, like... If you get... interactions with people, then that might be. Yeah. I mean, I know I write more when I get reactions from people, so I'm really not cut out for rare pair shipping.
That's the wrong sentiment there, because technically, I don't know, I feel like I have more interactions with the more rare pairs. Like, my newest passion, as you may have noticed on my dash, is Canvers, Kate Kane and Kara Danvers from Supergirl and Batwoman. And it's like, when I started thinking they were cute, there was just nothing. There was barely content there, and mostly based on the comics, but really very, very small number. And now it's like, there's more people getting passionate about it, and there's real excitement about it, and you exchange about it, and there's just so much joy in the reviews and in the rare occasions that you see art about it. And I don't know, it's just, it feels much more appreciated than when you have like the 500,000th Frost Iron fic on Marvel.
Yes, I think it goes back to how personal it is, because you when someone comments in a smaller community, you probably know these people.
Exactly.
And it means more to you, because you might have 2,000 kudos on something, but you don't know these people. This kind of thing, it's like your friends like what you did. And of course, that makes you happy.
I think about how, like, when I started out, I was actually in fandoms that were groups on... Sorry.
no worries.
I got the phone call, and apparently my phone being turned off does not mute my headphones. I don't really understand why it would just ring in the headphones, but not really. Well, that's weird.
Interesting.
But yeah, back when I started, I would be in groups on Facebook, and you know, there would be like John Lowe groups and Sherlock groups and that sort of stuff, and they would have like 20,000 members, and it was like a complete mess. So many people and no real connection. But the WQ group for James Bond and Q from those movies had like 500 members, but maybe 20 of them were really people who actually interacted in the group. And we all knew each other. We would like write fan fiction in the comments on posts. We would have group chats. And we sort of even had this thing where we collectively changed fandoms. Like the moment Kingsman came out, we all sort of, that entire group started another Facebook group for Kingsman and started doing the same thing in that group. And when London Spy came out, we did the same. Unfortunately, London Spy died very quickly, but I blame the writers for doing a shitty job on the ending. But yeah, that's just... that's just really nice when you get a group of several people who are all sort of putting each other in motion.
But I do get that because with my fan fiction, because I've been writing one story for about 2 years now, and it has gotten to the point where I recognize a lot of people in the comments. And like, I think as I'm writing, I'm like, oh, Hunter in the TARDIS is going to be like react like this, or someone else is going to react like this. Like, can't wait to see their comments. It's going to be amazing. And I've never actually spoken to these people, but it's weird.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know there's people who complain that AO3 doesn't foster community, but I don't know. In some ways, it does still. I mean, I feel connected to some of the people who leave comments on every one of my fics. Or like just the other day, one of my usual like Jalek commenters was suddenly commenting on one of my new BL fix, and it was, and they were like, oh my god, I started watching this show, I can't believe I didn't see that you were in this fandom too. So that, you know, you still know them kind of.
It's really less of a sense of community though, because like I don't know, I really miss the function to talk to people in a private message kind of way there.
Yeah, I remember, like, because we actually met through a comment on a fic. So, like, first I commented on your fic, then there was this sort of thread that was getting longer. Then there were comments on several fics. And then when we actually, like, sort of figured out we would like to talk, it was really complicated to figure out how. Because I think that we, like, messaged each other on fanfiction.net because there was the option there. And then we moved to like Messenger on Facebook, and then eventually we moved to Tumblr and WhatsApp. But it was actually complicated to figure out how to go from those comments to some sort of direct contact and not spamming people.
Especially since with, like, you don't really want to give out your phone number or something over the very public function of comments there.
Exactly.
I think that it's easier nowadays with Tumblr because, like, you start on AO3 and most people nowadays have a Tumblr, so you kind of move the community aspect of it to Tumblr. It's like, Tumblr is like an extension of AO3 to me in many senses.
I normally link at the end of all of my fics, I have a Come Bother Me on Tumblr thing and a link, and that's how I met a lot of, like, my current best friends, is they just like jumped into my DMs on Tumblr and were like, I hate what you did, let's talk about it. Like, it's great.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a thing because AO3 has this thing where everything is in public, and yes, yet there's all those people who just know pieces of you because especially in mod chapter fix, I think that's especially obvious because those people have been with you for like a year, maybe. And when you move to Tumblr, it's much easier to talk.
That is, of course, if you have people to talk to and if you're not the only one shipping that ship to bring things back to the rare.
We went off topic.
See, I have this trick there. I convert people to my ships.
You seem to have a really like active, like lots of interactions with people like on Tumblr and stuff. I mean, I think I have like, I have more followers than I ever thought I would have, but no one ever talks to me. So, you know.
Sometimes you just have to make the first move.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, quantity does not mean quality.
Yes. I think it also depends on the fandom. Some fandoms are just people are more talkative, yeah, and like it seems so with you especially, it seems like with Shadowhunters and Marvel, it just there's a lot of people who think so many things that they want to say.
Yeah, that's true. No, but I think it's also kind of that. I don't know. I've always answered all of the comments, so most of the people I interact with on Tumblr, I've been interacting with on fanfictionnet and AOP for years now through the comments they leave on my fix. So I think that that's a huge factor there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you have, I guess you have like a loyal, like people who know that what you write is good. So if you post something new, then it might be, oh, yeah, why not check it out and see if I like it? And then.
Yeah.
Like there's so really many easy. People who tell me.
I was gonna say, a friend's recommendation is the best way to get you into anything. Like, you're the reason I started watching The Untamed properly.
Yes. Yeah, I live for moments like this. I'm a multi fandom mess.
Big mood.
Oh yes, I don't know. I think it's also really interesting when suddenly it turns out that you share another fandom with someone. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of the people that, because it's a small group, from the Jellic fandom, it turns out to have a lot of other interests in common, which I suppose makes sense. And it's always exciting.
Yeah.
Hey, that's why I'm trying to get you into the Arrowverse, Mia.
Yes. You know, I'm so, so close. To giving up and just going in.
I swear the canaries will be your first drug and then you're fixed. I'm getting you there.
Yeah, it's really funny. I was one of the people I met through Shadowhunters. She went into C dramas, so kind of pulled me into Guardian. And then now I've pulled her into the Thai BL shows, and it's like, yes, I'm returning the favor.
Okay, so maybe like going back to Rare Purse.
Thank you, Kimmy.
I'm going to play the adult, maybe.
Yes.
But, going back to Rare Purse, can you think of like the most rare pair that you ever shipped, like the least amount of content, or can you think of a rare pair where you have been alone in it, like not a single other person, not even that second one?
Oh yes, I can. For the second one, I think the first that came to mind was Dany from Game of Thrones and Cersei, which, okay, I get it, that's bad. But also there's maybe two fics, and they're both just hallucinations and stuff. It's not like an actual fic, and I was devastated.
But it's also true, like, sometimes there are fics, but they're not really fics, because it can be, for example, one in Chinese, and then the other one is, like, that huge blob of text, and
oh yes,
300 different tags, and some sort of 50 different
so
characters.
It's like
yeah, it's like it hurts my eyes to even look at it and try to find something between it. And in the end, when you find it, it's like, oh, it was part of a poly combination of 10 other people, and there was really no focus on what you were looking for.
Yeah,
or it's exactly
so
100
really
words long.
Nothing's worse than when you go into a fandom tag and you like sort by kudos, and then it's just a bunch of big one-shots, and there's all these different fandoms and all these different pairings, and you're like, Oh no, I'm gonna have to scroll for a long time.
And that's where the new excluding tags are just so good, because I open a tag and just go with it.
Yeah, it's like the excluding option is fantastic. I just open a tag and then it's like a super long list of everything that's excluded.
Yes, sometimes it's even ships I like, but they're so popular that I can't see anything from what I'm looking for.
Sometimes that's not what I want to read right now or in the same thing. I just want focus to be on something else. Once again, AOFI should give us secondary and main ship options.
Yeah,
that would be a godsend. I mean, it would. People would still misuse it, let's be honest, but it would work better.
Yeah. I mean, I always put secondary or like background ships in the additional tags because I don't want to clutter up the actual ship tag.
Yes, yeah.
People do that. And that's good, but I feel like minor ships belong there. But at the same time, if I, for example, write a multi-chapter fic and it's pretty long and you just at one point have a lot of ships and there is a main ship, but the others, even if they are secondary, still have like a bit more than the additional tag development. They appear in a few chapters and they are sort of, they have scenes where they are considered in depth. So they belong in the secondary tag, but they are not really so minor to push them off somewhere into additional, because someone who would be sorting by that ship, they may be actually interested in this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I've been still thinking about your question about if there's ever been like a ship where I've been like the only one or something. And the thing is, I've been on AO3 plenty of times and there has been not a single fic for a ship that I was interested in. But I can't remember which ships there were because usually I then lose interest.
Yeah, it's
kind of sad.
So for me, that was
You were saying?
For me, it was the show Imposters, which was really, really short. It only had 2 seasons before it got canned, but the first season got me really on board with this one ship between those 2 idiots, which is a theme with my ships.
Idiots in love.
Oh, I remember that!
Yes!
Which is Phantom? Sorry, you cut out for a second there.
Imposters. And I wrote a fic for them immediately, and it was like, it was laying around for weeks without any comments and stuff, because I figured, yeah, it was the very first in the fandom tech, not just in the ship tech, in the fandom tech. And I thought, okay, sure, I wrote this just for me. But over the following months, it became more and more popular in the sense that so many people started to comment like, oh my gosh, someone else ships it. And that was very, very nice. But sadly, season 2 was a real shit show, and then it got canned.
That was me with the show.
Did someone else write anything? Or are you still like the only thing?
Not to my knowledge. No, I'm the only one still.
That was me with a show called Whatever This Is. I just remembered. It was like a 6-episode-long web series that had one of the actors from Welcome to Night Vale in it. And there were like 3 fics at the time. The last time I checked, there were 3 fics and one of them was mine. I don't know if anyone's added it. I just remembered because someone like kudos that fic like a couple of days ago and like, holy shit, people still watch that.
Yeah, like sometimes comments on the oldest things are really, really interesting to remind you how that happened, that you wrote something like that. But yeah, yes, I guess that's especially... Go on.
Okay. I think it's especially interesting when it brings you back in a fandom, because that happened to me, actually. Sometimes I haven't written for a certain ship for a long, long time, and someone comments, and I'm just thinking, oh, I was into that, and now I'm into that again.
Yeah.
Which I think is another sort of interaction that people don't really expect when they comment, but it's important.
Yeah, the diving back into fandom can be really interesting. I mean, like, it's kind of funny because with Marvel, I was actually like that. Except the first time I was around in the fandom, my ship was actually big. And now that I come back with the knowledge that AO3 exists, it's died. It's very, very sad. But yeah, there are also like this kind of rare pairs, and that's actually one that I'm currently in alone, where you sort of come up with them completely accidentally. And like that ship for me was Maria Stark, Rebecca Banner, because that's not even a crossover, but it's a character that's not really in the movies. So when people come to it from the movie fandom, they may vaguely recognize the name and that's it. But because I really, really love science boyfriends and science bros, platonically or romantically, I just really wanted them to be brothers. So then it was like, how to make this even better? And I was like, lesbians. And it just sort of, you know, happened. And the moment I started writing it, I suddenly got like really into it. And I did not expect to like it so much. But obviously I'm pretty alone in it, because those characters are completely side characters, even when they appear in things. And then the combination of them together is like even more into sort of meta level.
So you wrote yourself into shipping. Sorry.
Yes! It was supposed to be like a tool to get me to a platonic relationship tag, but it just sort of ran out.
But I was going to say, people can latch on to background characters really, really tightly. Like, for as cringe as that fandom is, the My Little Pony fandom is full of like 100,000 words long fics that are about characters that have never had any lines of dialogue. They're just in the background. But also, I just checked on the whatever this is tagged. Speaking of rare pairs, 56 of the 60 fics were written by one person.
Wow. That's dedication.
They're in Chinese, so I can't read them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that happens so often. Like, the Chinese and the Russian fandoms are so dedicated. And often when I find a rare pair, it's going to be like, there's going to be either 20 Chinese or 20 Russian fics in there. And they are usually by the same person.
It was so frustrating when I got into Zep Chase, because I thought, oh my gosh, there are so many fics. And then, oh my gosh, they're all for Russian. Why?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. I have a special problem with ships that are actually really popular because they're canon in the BL shows. But all the fics are on that Wattpad. How am I supposed to find anything on there?
Oh, yes!
Oh, no.
It's like, they could just as well be rare pairs. Because I cannot fucking find anything.
Yeah.
Definitely not find anything good. It's like...
Yeah, like, Wattpad is a very special place on the internet.
That's very kind of you.
I have a soft spot for it.
It's just, how do you find anything? It's like, there's no tags, no proper...
Yeah, I think I would like it better if I could find literally anything on it.
it has no tagging or filtration system, right?
Yes, because, like, you just can't operate
it at
all.
Into the search field. And that's really, really interesting, because a result of that is that, like, there are some really good things on Wattpad, and I remember that I would often find like the really good stuff, for example, through like the Google search. Because Google, funnily enough, allows me to like input all those codes to like search for stuff. And then I would just like want to go through more of that on Wattpad. And like the only things that I would find would be like some really, really weird unfinished fics that I did not necessarily want to know exist. There are some like really, really weird things in every website, in every fandom, but like, once you can like sort that out, for example, with exclude, you sort of forget about that until it glares at you.
even with Wattpad, even if you have a title, it's really tricky. Like, there's an It fan fiction that's only on Wattpad. It's well known for being really, really good. And It, like, I knew the title was Mixtape. I knew the ship, I knew the fandom, and I knew the title. And it still took me, like, about half an hour to find it. I ended up having to search it on Google because it would not come up on the Wattpad search.
Yeah. So obviously things cannot be rare pairs and still be hard to but yeah, I don't know. Do we have anything more about the hell that is rare pair shipping? Apparently it's not that much of a hell because you all seem pretty happy with your little ship.
It's about the fact that when you get such a small pair, you get kind of territorial. Yeah. Like your rare pair is like your baby. Like, that main pair is going to do just fine without you. But that little ship, it needs you. It needs you to show you all the love, to show it all the love, because it doesn't really have others to do it.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because, like, I also find that crack ships and rare pairs go really, like, hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking about Critical Role the other day, and there are two characters in it who are known for being gay and being killed off. And all I could think was, I was like, oh my god, Molly Mock and Vax would totally be dating in the afterlife. And then I was like writing this story in my head, and I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Here we go again.
That makes me wonder how many Draco Malfoy apple figs are there on AO3?
Too many.
Oh yeah, that's 66 figs. Draco Malfoy / Apple. That's a lot more than what? Most of my rappers.
/ what?
Apple, like, have you not heard about this fascinating phenomenon in the
Harry Potter fandom? I've never been in Harry Potter fandom.
Like,
you don't have to be, it was so loud at one point.
Been in the fandom, but you sort of hear about it at one point or another. If you, like, have watched Harry Potter and ever, like, related to it.
I've only seen the first movie.
I'm not really sure how that happened, but I'm sure Fan Laura knows. But then it was suddenly everywhere because, like, I think it's from, like, a scene in a movie. I think it was in the third movie. There is the one with the hippogriff, and there is a scene there that has. Draco in that lesson, and they have a lesson in the woods, and he's just standing in the woods and eating an apple. So he's just standing there eating an apple.
That was the Fantastical Beast lesson.
And they just, you know, sort of somehow, don't ask me how, made that into a ship, and there's 66 things. About Draco and that one green apple from that one movie. And I think all of the fics that I've written for my rappers combined. That's fantastic, but at the same time, like, whoa.
It's like the most popular fic on AO3. Is that still the one that's I Am Groot?
Yeah, I Am Groot.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So
there's last time I checked that thing. There is this really like fascinating phenomenon that's not really related to rare pairs, but I think the most popular fic in the railer tag is actually like bashing them. And that's pretty awful.
Oh, yes, hell, you know,
that sort of things. Like the popular fics are not necessarily popular because they are good. So that's why I don't often take kudos into consideration as some sort of proof of quality. Because
That's why I always sort by new. When I open a tag, I just go through the last posted section and that's it, because otherwise it's not a proof of quality. Yes.
Yeah, And I guess with rare pairs, you don't have that problem anyway, because, yeah.
No.
You will just be ecstatic if there's anything new.
Yeah, if there's more than one page, I'm lucky. Usually there's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do we have anything else?
The most popular thing on AFA is Still I Am Groot.
Still I Am Groot.
80,000 kudos.
Okay. Yeah, one thing I've seen with Rare Paris was very interesting in the sense that it has exactly 4 fix. To give you some sense of the scale of the fandom in Star Wars, I'm not going to name the ship by name, but 4 fix and that's it. And all of them are by different people, but it's pretty much the exact same plot and the exact same tropes. Oh. And then I started writing one too, and it's the same thing. And I have no idea why. Oh.
So there must nothing. The there must obviously be like one moment that makes people go, ooh.
Yeah, it's not even that, but it's just kind of the whole aesthetic of the ship, I guess, it's sort of this one with nature kind of thing. But they're all like this. And then I was like, maybe I can do my own thing. And I started writing one, and it's that again.
This sort of happened. You've been meaning to.
Yes.
I always really admired people who can like single-handedly write like 70 figs for their very, very
rare. Me, that's me.
I miss when I was like 14 and I was just writing figs for the hell of it. And I'm just like, now I'm just like, no, I need to think about this.
Yes, do you have the time to invest in this? That's always a question.
Is it good enough?
It's funny because now I'm a creative writing major. I thought that was going to make me want to write more. No. Now I just second guess
it. Yeah, I have a problem with writing things for the hell of it. It's more the fact that once I get to writing, even if I do get to writing, I start it and I don't finish it.
Yes.
Yes, I found that sometimes it just helps to write an outline. I can't, maybe I won't get to it immediately, but I'll get to it someday. And now it's on paper, and that helps.
That's also interesting thing about the rare pairs. Like, there is this rare pair bingo, and it shows really well how different rare pairs can be, because I think they're the definition of rare pair for the sake of the bingo is under 1,000 works, which, you know, different rare pairs can be, because, you know, in a fandom where the main ship has 60,000 works, probably a ship that has like 800 works is a rare pair. And then there are fandoms where, like, you know, the main ship has 200 works. And there are like whole 3 of them with their 3 things.
But honestly, everything that has like more than, say, 10 pages on AO3, that in my book, that's not a rare pair anymore.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
But like, I think 10 pages is 200, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think someone defined it exactly as that. Less than 200 fix, that's a rare pair. But yeah, it really depends, because if it's a tiny, tiny fan base, then you can't expect that for even the mindship.
Yeah, it's also true how it develops over time. Like, at some point, something that was popular sort of dies because, for example, Canon did something different, and some people really treat what Canon did as very important, and suddenly they're like, no, I can't ship this anymore. And the ship dies, and suddenly,
Or one just gets so bitter over what Canon did to your ship that it just kind of sucks the creativity out of you.
Just say Stony and Marvel.
So you just get so bitter about a part of that ship even.
Yes, I mean, it's interesting how people react, because sometimes that just makes people write in spite of what happened, and just got it, because you know what, kind of doesn't matter, I'll do what I want. But sometimes just I've seen whole communities just move to a new fandom. It just happened, I think, with Game of Thrones. A lot of the people just jumped off to Witcher.
That was really funny in a way.
Yes, it happened so suddenly. I mean, it's the exact same people, and they write again together, but a different fandom.
I feel like, you know, part of it is just that the Witcher suddenly sucked in everyone, and I have people from like Winter Iron who suddenly flooded my inbox with just the Witcher thing. And at one point,
oh, yes,
it was so bad that I genuinely started reading The Witcher because I feel so out of loop.
Yeah. Okay, you can read it in the original.
I open Tumblr and it's all The Witcher gifs. I open Facebook and it's all the videos about The Witcher because obviously I'm Polish. A Polish guy wrote The Witcher, so my Facebook is apparently videos like the actors of The Witcher are trying Polish foods. And the entire Facebook dash is like that. And like every media that I open, there is Witcher somewhere there. And even in my inbox, all the AO3 mails are suddenly The Witcher. Why not jump on the bandwagon?
Well, I think people just need to be obsessed with something. As a whole, because it has to be one big thing, just at all times. And since Game of Thrones ended, there had to be someone to inherit that same massive fan base.
It's kind of like funny because I once had like a 12-year-old drag me for hyperfixations. And like I was always like that. Before I had fandoms, I would be like obsessed with one singer at the time, one movie, one something. And like I couldn't just be moderately interested in everything at once, listening to this music and watching these movies. It was like a complete hyperfixation. And like we would have those huge meetings with our friends, and they would happen every few months, so that kid like saw me when there was that meeting, and he was like, why every time that I see you do you have a completely, are you completely obsessed with something else? And I was like, you know, no need to drag me, that's just how some people work.
Yes.
Well, I usually have like one big ship that I'm most active in, and then, but I still have others that I love. You know, like I don't think I'll ever completely let go of Jalek.
Despite
Do you ever like casually fall out of fandom because of circumstances, but you really wish that you were more into it? Like, I kind of really wish that I was writing and more into Azera right now. And I know nothing is stopping me. But the fact that it's like the two of us and the fandom is sort of stopping me.
Yeah, I've got that too, because my last fandom has just like suddenly just fucking died. And now I'm just like floating alone. I have no idea what to focus on there.
The problem with Azera even is that like you don't, because the Vampire Academy fandom sort of died the moment that the books ended and the movies were not continued. But the problem is that even those few people who are left in the fandom have a different ship. So it's flowing over in an already dead fandom.
Isn't that the sequel series for Vampire Academy?
I think that's over too now, but I'm not sure.
There was never ever any TV show. Like the TV shows about vampires are different. Like there's Vampire Diaries and that sort of stuff.
There was talk of the TV show.
Like last year, and everyone obviously for like a week got super excited because some guy on Twitter said that maybe we'll make Vampire Academy TV show, and you know, we never heard anything ever again.
I still never understand why they got the people who made Heathers and Mean Girls, they got them too to do the Vampire Academy movie, and I do not understand why.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, that movie to me, what's really interesting is that that movie sort of flopped because of a very bad timing, because after they'd done it, they actually wanted to make the second movie happen through crowdfunding it, but it was like 2014 or something like that. And if they tried it today, I am 100% sure they would get that money, because crowdfunding has become super popular and fans are really into that sort of stuff. But back then, like, people didn't really know about this yet, and nobody really found out about that campaign, and nobody really donated to it.
Yes, and it's a massive amount of money to make a movie.
Yeah, but I mean, others have done it.
Yes, that sort of happened. Things happen, and they get that huge amount of money, and that's really fascinating.
Because I gave my money to the Franny Fisher movie, for example.
Oh.
And it worked out.
Good investment, thank you.
Well, the Critic Role TV show that got like millions and millions of dollars, and then it got picked up by Amazon.
Yeah, that's of course like the ideal situation, I guess.
Oh yeah, some fandoms are just lucky.
Yeah, but Rare Pairs, do we have anything else to say? We've been kind of meandering around from Rare Pairs to fandoms in general, and
shipping. Does anyone maybe want to say something about their Rare Pair?
Yeah, why should people ship your Rare Pair?
People should ship my Rare Pair because it's more put together than anything that the canon ever dared to give us.
As a mood.
And people can read your fic to get a taste of it?
We never got that, like, we never got that far in posting, but we got that far in planning.
That's also a mood.
Yeah, so which one of your many, many Rare Pairs do you want to pimp? I don't know, Fu, for example.
I mean, definitely Magnus and Jace. It's my absolute favorite ship out of all of the fictional ships that I sail. I've come to love them so much, and there's so little content for them, and it makes me so sad. And still, I'm such a sucker. I check the ship tag on AO3 literally every day with hopes that maybe someone else may ship it now, but most of the time not. That's so sad.
I was just imagining Magnus like being like, oh no, I've got a crush on another Herondale boy.
Yes!
I was actually asked if I would do a vid for them just the other day, and I had to decline, I'm afraid. I can't even finish the freaking Jalik vid that I started like 8 months ago. Yeah, so that's not going to happen. Sorry for...
No, I'm sad.
Aww. But you know, at least they still have more content than our ship, than other ships from this fandom, that are the small ships that we created.
I mean, that's fair, but also consider I'm also in those like, ships, so I'm suffering even more from various sources.
But that's like 70 works or so for like just them and not counting the Poldi ones. And I'm pretty
darling,
sure...
most of those are made from me.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure that by now there are other writers, because I think that like... we managed to drag in Destiel's Destiny, and someone else, I think.
And it was, probably the person who asked me for the vid.
Yeah, most likely.
There are like at least a few other authors in the tag.
Yes, sometimes I'm there too. I think the biggest side of a rare pair is when you just go on the tag and half of the fix are in that, you know, deeper gray color, so I'm like, oh yes, that's me.
Yeah,
it's nice that like the AO3 tells you which is you and which isn't.
Yes,
I found already like 7 different authors who are writing for Magnus and Jace, so
Well, I'm not saying I'm the only one, but like, when was the last one posted that wasn't from me? That's the thing.
It's still on the first page of the tag. But that's months, unfortunately.
And which ship would you want to pimp, Kimmy?
That's really hard. I guess, like, maybe those poly ships and poly combinations that I really like that are rare, even if they appear, they are often parts of something bigger. Or, like, you know how often when you search for poly, it's not really this ship that you search for. It's just, again, that mountain of different tags, and they happen at different points in a huge story. And I just sometimes really want, like, fluffy polyfics with my favorites, OT3s and such.
Ever since I realized that poly ship could be a thing, I have no time for love triangles anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought love triangles were so boring, and then I realized that, you know, you didn't have to choose. You could just have both.
Yes, it's a real eye-opener. When you realize you can just do that if you want.
But then, of course, I'm also the person who, if I really dig a particular ship, then I cannot read polyfics with them because I get so possessive about them. So that's, I know it's a bit hypocritical, but well.
Okay, but no, poly ships
is interesting.
Poly ships are actually how I got into many of my rare pairs, because it's like there's a love triangle and there's those two people fighting for the third. So you put just all of them together and then suddenly I like the third angle the most.
Yes!
I think that's where Jason Magnus comes from, too.
Exactly!
A lot of people just painted us Alec in the center of the triangle, and then what if they just got together?
It's not that I don't see it. I just cannot.
You just don't want to see it.
I just cannot. Because there's no Alec in there with the Jace, and the Jace needs to be with the Alec.
No, but that's actually because, like, I understand you being possessive about them together, but when it comes to characters, I have this thing where I need everybody to be paired off and be happy together with someone, which is especially from, like, RA's perspective, something that they should probably work on, because, you know, people can be single even in fanfiction, but
absolutely.
I just always want that character that I like to have someone to make them happy by the end of the fic. So I think that actually Alec slash Bat was how this was created, because when Jace was with Magnus, we needed someone for Alec.
Yeah. We invented Balak because we didn't.
What, Alec? All of them. Bat is there.
We just want people to be happy.
Yes.
It was like that sort of, I think that was the hiatus between seasons 2 and 3, and like we didn't really know all those characters that would appear, some of them OCs, that would later become shippable, but we still thought that Bat will be there, but he wasn't.
Oh,
it's okay. He's still in our hearts.
Yes. And Mia, you haven't. Yes. Do you have a particular rare pair?
Well, I think I'm gonna have to. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to. Unless I want to talk about that one Star Wars ship, I think I'm gonna have to go with Jason Magnus too. You know, such a missed opportunity. Sometimes I say it because they're so similar to one another. So if we get into the question of why would someone ship this, and, you know, why you should ship this, it's just sometimes characters who have a lot in common, they just work. And there's just a lot of possibilities. I think that's why I liked it so much. And there's also that bit with the spy shipping a bit, I think.
And also, they were roommates.
Oh my god, they were roommates.
That is true, they were canonical roommates.
Here's an opinion that really shouldn't be controversial, but is in this stupid fandom. Magnus and Jace would be popular if Shadowhunters wasn't equal to Malik in the eyes of most of the fans.
Yes.
Or if you know, if the fandom is
just a lot of sense. There's a lot of setup for it.
Yes, yes. I think a lot of more people would see it if it was a bigger fandom to begin with.
I mean, like I said, I can totally see it. I can see all the reasons. And you do you. I can see it. I can see, like, Magnus taking care of Jace and stuff. Yeah, that, I can see all of that happening. Just, yeah, but also, you know.
Yeah, I get the possessiveness too, because it's sometimes you just love a ship so much and the characters in it so much that you just go, there can only be one.
I mean, I can stretch to malice. I've done that. But yeah.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, that's one of my big unfinished ones where I still get comments, are you ever going to finish? I'm like, no, threesome sex is hard.
Yes. I think that's the reason. A lot of my abandoned fics are just threesome sex. Because of this exact reason, I just have to figure it out, and then I never do.
Exactly. I stop just before the sex scene, and then I'm like, okay.
It's too black.
Fade to black. Just fade to black.
Yes, yeah, but the sometimes problem it's just, is I'm going to get to that in a minute, and then I just don't.
Exactly.
Oh god, that reminds me of the longest shower in history that still stays in my Google documents. There is a comment on the site that I'm going to go get a shower and then finish this. And just every mass comes into that document to comment under that comment that you know that shower is still happening.
But at least you haven't posted that on AO3.
I think that one I didn't.
Yeah, but she, it's even worse because it's a Google document where I'm in. I made the comment, why are you still showering? I'm still waiting for this scene to happen.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Some of it even related to rare pairs.
Yeah, very often not even related to rare pairs. And yeah, but thank you guys so much.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
And I do hope this turned out to be like something along the lines of what people were hoping for. It was Kimmy and Fur. I know. I remember you guys voted for the, I think, for the rare pair thing.
Yeah, because
we
it's
were
fun.
Just secretly hoping to get other people into our rare pairs too.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna look them up.
Yeah, like, let's finish this up with a very happy sort of that you should ship rare pairs and that you should ship Jason Magnus and write things about it.
Yeah, it's a good place for propaganda.
Yeah, and I should give some rare pairs more of a chance instead of just going to AO3 being like, oh no, there's nothing, and then
giving up.
Giving up.
There's nothing, create something.
Sometimes I do.
Or discover something new and interesting, and rare pairs are the something new and interesting.
Sometimes I do, but then usually I end up just drabbling something and I put it in one of those collections that you guys hate so much.
I feel like something that would be really interesting to have on AO3 that would really help discovering new stuff and also help rare pair shippers would be if you could sort by character, but making it so it shows the fix where this character is in a relationship. Not just is in a relationship. Yes, because then a lot of people could find those rare pairs because they could sort of sort through the character. And
you could just look at all the fix with Jace. That would be the dream.
Yes.
Yes, that way you could find anything, pretty much.
That would be really interesting, because a lot of people just really want that character happy with someone.
With anyone.
Not just one single ship. Because often just with whoever. One single ship.
But happily.
Refreshing the time and still nothing new.
But there would have to be like a list at the top or something, because otherwise, like, rare pairs would just get lost in like the big, among the big ships, wouldn't they?
But, like, I mean, you could still exclude function.
Yeah.
You still have the exclude function, but someone who is just sorting to see the newest things would see the newest rare pair and not just those things that they have already read from the main pack.
Yeah, but I mean, you can, I mean, searching by character is a possibility already.
It's like useless, honey.
Fics that are about a relationship of other characters, and that person is just there for 3 seconds in the background.
That is true. Yeah.
It's like, if you search the tag by Jace, actually most fics will be Malek.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, everything in that fandom, if you search any name in Shadowhunters, most of it is going to be Malek.
Yes.
Which is why I'm glad that the exclude function exists.
Yes.
Yeah, that is of course a problem. Not even if it's about a rare pair, just if it's anything, but the main ship in a fandom. Like I guess people who don't like Stucky feel similar about Stucky in Marvel.
That was the case when I was looking for Full Metal Alchemist fan fiction. It's all Roy and Ed, and I'm like, no, gross,
thanks, AO3, for adding the exclude function. Like, I really feel like that's one of their updates that changed the experience so drastically.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was possible before, but it was more complicated. And now it's just so easy. Yeah, so we thank AO3 for existing anyway, every day. It's like, I'm a huge fan.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so shall we wrap up?
Sure.
It's been like 90 minutes, so I think you will have enough to edit through.
Yes, I have enough. Oh, geez.
If there's anything salvageable from this entire discussion, then we hope we'll be able to hear it.
Well, I usually don't edit content unless it's like, unless it gets like, I don't know, vitriolic or something. Because I don't want censorship. It's like everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I kind of like the meandering around, because isn't that not natural, you know, like.
It just flows better that way when just the discussion develops.
And it gets this funny little asides. And fandom is a fascinating topic anyway. It's like, there's so much, so much ground to cover.
So much.
Okay. So thanks again, you guys. And
Thank you.
I'll see you on the interwebs.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Thanks again to my 4 interview partners. It was rather different having so many people on at once, but I think we managed to touch on some interesting issues and hopefully created something you enjoyed listening to. If you're new to the Shipping Cast Patreon, you can also listen to the 2 previous specials about the steampunk concept band Steam Powered Giraffe and about real person shipping, using Dom Sherwood and Matt Daddario, aka Sherdario from Shadowhunters, as an example. The next regular episode is scheduled for Valentine's Day, but as my loyal patrons, you will of course get it earlier. I'll be talking with Mitchin about the twincess pairing of Stanley and Stanford from Gravity Falls. Until then, I wish you happy sailing. And remember, you are the captain of your ship.